Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 23rd, 2003, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 18 in There is a Solution. We will start at the bottom of that page, the paragraph that begins, that the man who is making the approach. The reference number for yesterday's meeting, which was Wednesday, May 22nd, is 4512. That's 4512. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. This meeting's primary purpose is to abstain, to recover from compulsive overeating, and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I would now like to ask Irini to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Janice. Good morning, my spiritual brothers and sisters. My name is Irini, and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Irini. I'd now like to ask Margaret H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Janice. Good morning, A Vision for You. This is Margaret H. in Illinois, compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Margaret. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution, and we are on page 18 at the bottom of that page. And I would like to ask Kathy K. to please get us started.
Thank you, Janice. Good morning, everyone. This is Kathy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and grateful to be here today. That the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he is talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions we have found most effective. After such an approach, many take up their beds and walk again. This is such a clearly articulated statement about step 12 and what it means to help the still suffering compulsive overeater. And as I read it, I realize I was not always able to approach people in this way. It wasn't until I reached a level of clarity about what my disease is about, as well as a level of awareness, having worked through the first 9 steps, that I had the capacity to do this, to present myself and my disease and my recovery in a way which was clear but not overzealous. I can remember early on when I was in these rooms and experienced some temporary abstinence and what I thought was recovery, I would get into a real sales mode of trying to push the program to whoever I thought needed it. And obviously that's not what this paragraph is telling us. Instead, it's about genuinely wanting to help another person and presenting what we've experienced in a very calm, humble way, such that we're not selling, but we're just presenting the gifts that have been given to us. And I'm also reminded that throughout this book, we're told that this kind of action is what kept Bill and the 100 others who recovered in recovery. It was the regular reaching out to others who still suffer without access to grind, without people to please, and without an attitude of holier than thou. And it really, the only way I can do this is if I am centered in my higher power and entirely aware of the gifts that I have been given, so that I can present them in a way that's solid and humble and with grace. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy.
This is Katie from Boston.
Go ahead, Katie.
Good morning. This is Katie. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts. And oh, I'm so grateful to read this today. When I came in, I followed, and still do, I follow a Wade format of Wade manner, rather, of eating my food. And it's committed, and I'm very disciplined about it. But as soon as I got abstinent, I didn't have a God in my life. And it was a Katie show. I mean, talk about lectures and holier than thou. And, I mean, I got sponsees. And I was not talking the program of Alcoholics Anonymous that's so clearly laid out in this solution. And I was not talking the language of the heart. I was talking the program that somehow I was making up in my head. Like, you do this. Sit down. Shut up. You go to this meeting. You do this. No, I don't care. I mean, I'm a single woman, and I've never been married or had children, and I was advising women who were married with children to do things, to live their life in a certain way. Why? Because I was so afraid, you know, and I didn't have a God in my life. And I didn't realize that actually what I was supposed to be sharing was just my experience, and that it was okay to not know, you know, and that it was okay to say to someone, you know, gee, I don't know. And the people that really had what I wanted, and the people that spoke through these like clouds I had of food addiction when I was in the food, that really got to me were the ones that spoke the language of the heart, were the ones that said to me, yeah, you know what, Katie, I used to eat out of trash cans too, and I'm not today. You know what, Katie, I used to hate myself so much that all I could do was exercise. I get it. Like, this is all I can share, and today that's all I can share with my sponsees or with women who call me. Like, all I can share is my experience, and that's all. Like, I'm not here to lecture. I am not God, and I am not the, like, OA, whatever, like, recovery story. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not out there, like, you know, the after picture to show everybody what I've done. That's not what this is about. Like, my primary purpose is to stay abstinent and to help other women today, not because I want some, like, glory, but because if I don't, I am sure to eat again. It says that in another place in the book. Like, the only way to live through this life today is to pass this message along. And thank God, you know, and thank God, like, I had the ability in my ninth step to go to women who, as a sponsor, I had verbally abused. You know, and I know that this is like might sound awful because it is, but like that's the truth. I verbally abused people because I was so afraid that I wasn't good enough, that I needed to control these women who wanted me as a sponsor. You know, they called me and I was like, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. Like, I don't do that today. You know, like I say to women, this is my experience and this is what I do. You know, and this is how I've found a relationship with God. You know, I do. I need to have specific parameters around my food, and I work my tools every day so that I can have the privilege of staying in the step work, which gives me a God, right? And that God is how I operate from the language of the heart and not from the language of the head, where I'm better than you and lecturing you and I have access to grind and I have something to prove. That's not who I am today. You know, I don't have anything to prove in God's world. And I'm very grateful, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie. Would anyone else like to comment on this paragraph?
This is Paula Mancia.
Go ahead, Paula.
Thank you. This would be Paula, recovered compulsive overeater. You know, here it says in the first line, and I think I could stick with just that line. It's quite the line, isn't it? The same man. What man? The man that was sick in this disease of alcoholism. It's the same man. You remember who you are. Is making the approach. Has had the same difficulty. That he obviously knows what he is talking about. Can I tell you on that sentence, doesn't it remind you of a plane coming in and he's making his approach, but he doesn't just land the damn plane. No, he takes a look at all the areas around. He's got all these things around him that say the temperature, the this, the that, the this, the, how far up he is. Okay, he's making the approach. He's looking around. But doesn't it say, the paragraph before in the squiggly lines, important squiggly lines, armed with facts about himself. And that's where it comes into. Once you're armed with the facts, and then it clearly states here, the man has a real answer. Where's the answer? In the book. He found the answer in the book, in the steps, in his God. Then, and only then, can he make the approach and land the plane. But even more so, this plane is another human being. You give it your all. On this line, we hear trusted servants. Thank you for allowing me to share with that. I do pass.
Thank you, Paula. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
This is me. Sure.
I'm sorry, can you say that again, please?
Nancy.
Kim and Sheila, did I hear?
I think it was Nancy.
Go ahead, Kim, and then we'll do Nancy.
Good morning, Janice. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Kim G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. That his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer. No, his whole deportment, his whole behavior, his whole mannerism shouts. Because our actions shout so much louder than our words. I mean, the fact is, in most cases, your actions are so loud, I can't hear a word that you're saying. So I remember working with someone, and she told me she came to her first OA meeting after being years in AA. And the person who was leading the meeting was morbidly obese. And she shared that today she had 2 weeks of abstinence, and everybody clapped. And she looked at him like, 2 weeks after 20 years? And the woman came up to her after the meeting and gave her a hug and goes, you know what? Sometimes 2 weeks is the best that we can get. Well, is that a real answer? Is that the message we want to give in our life, that the best we can get is 2 weeks? Well, I'll tell you, this meeting shouts the real answer. This meeting has a depth and weight of people who have recovered. And in order to get that real answer, we have to know what the real problem is. And that is something that Overeaters Anonymous does not do well. Our real problem is not food and weight. Our real problem is that we have an allergy of the body that will never change. And some of us are allergic to this food, and some of us are allergic to that food, but we have to identify what is our alcohol. What are those foods that create the phenomenon of craving? And we have to accept the fact that that is our disability and put those foods down 100%. And then we have to attack the larger aspect of our disease, which is the obsession of the mind, with these steps. And when we walk through these steps, we will get a relationship with God, and the obsession will be removed. So the real answer is that when we get that connection with God, the obsession will be removed. And if the obsession is removed, we will not go back to the food. And if we will not go back to the food, we will not trigger the allergy. And if we don't trigger the allergy, we will no longer be in that vicious cycle. And to give us a little preview, at the end of the chapter, it says, further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we have recovered. These are followed by 42 personal stories. Each individual in his personal story is described in his own language, from his own point of view, the way he established his relationship with God. It doesn't say what shared with him how they stopped drinking. It doesn't say I shared with them how what my food plan was. It is how you got that relationship with God. Does it say making 90 meetings in 90 days or making 14 phone calls a day? You know, the tools are wonderful, but the tools only have meaning if we know what we're building. A hammer, a wrench, and a screwdriver sitting on a table mean nothing unless we know what we're building. So we have to know what we're building because his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he's a man with the real answer. Because one of the dangerous things that can happen in an OA meeting, and one of the most miserable places I have ever been, is when I've had a head full of OA and a belly full of food. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you, Janice. This is Nancy, recovered compulsive overeater from Lewiston, Idaho. Good morning, everybody, especially those of you that are with me on the West Coast very early this morning, but grateful to start my day with this meeting. I tell you, I love hearing the big book first thing in the morning. In my big book, I have written next to this paragraph, description of a sponsor. Because as we know, you know, the big book doesn't ever use the word sponsor, but I was taught, you know, this is what you look for. And a couple of people that have shared before me kind of alluded to, you know, just some of our experiences, not just in sponsoring, but in looking for sponsees. And God bless those people, especially in my early days that I sponsored to try to teach them a diet, because by golly, the first time I came to OA, I lost 100 pounds. And so obviously that gave me the credentials I needed to tell somebody else how to lose 100 pounds, because, you know, the unfortunate truth was at that time, that's all I had to offer. And, you know, there were people at that time that were drawn to me because of the weight loss, but then, they didn't stick around. And that's because they weren't hearing this solution. They were just hearing another diet, another food plan. You know, yeah, sure, I was working the steps, but I would just take a book, a workbook or something, and have them work out of it. I would hear somebody at a retreat say something, and I would try to, that sounded really good, and it would really touch me. And I would try to pass that on to other people, but it didn't work because it was their experience, not mine. I can only share what is in my heart. When I first came to OA, I had to practice being of service. I was not a naturally giving person. And it's interesting now because I've done some of those tests where you discover what your spiritual gifts are, and mine is giving. And that did not come naturally. That is one of the miracles of working this program. Today, I have a sincere desire to help the still suffering compulsive overeater. I wish I could help everybody that called me. There's not enough hours in the day, but I trust that my higher power is going to put those in my path that I can help. And it's interesting, I always think about the phone meeting. Now I don't have a face-to-face meeting, and nobody knows what I look like. You know, I'm not attracting people because of what I look like or what my body size is. You know, they don't know that I've lost a lot of weight, and I walk around in a healthy body weight, unless I say that. But people call me because of what they hear in my voice, and I have called other people on this phone line because of what I hear in their voice. I hear the passion of this program. I hear their commitment to be of help to those who are still suffering. I hear them talk about a solution that I've never been able to find before. That's what attractive. And I have people say, oh, man, I just love what you said on the phone. And I just kind of smile because they're not coming to me because of what I look like. They're coming to me because of something that they heard me say or the passion in my voice. I have so much passion for this program today. And I have had many sponsors over the years as I've been in and out of program and in and out of program, and I've had sponsors that have let me go, and I've had sponsors that I have let go just for various reasons. But I have learned something from each and every one of them. A couple of them, what I learned was that's not the way that I want to sponsor. But I learned something, and it has got me to where I am today, which is making myself open to be willing to listen to the direction of my higher power to do what he would have me to do and to be what he would have me to be. With that, I could go on forever, but with that, I'll pass. And thank you all so much for being here so that I can hear the solution this morning. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy. Well, this is Janice, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. You know, this paragraph speaks to me on a lot of different levels, because what we've been talking about on this page, I believe, is, you know, we've been described, we were unapproachable. We were unapproachable by those who tried to help us, highly competent psychiatrists and family and intimate friends and parents and wives. And, you know, they tried to argue, they tried to convince us, they tried to plead with us. You know, they tried because they cared about us. They cared about us, and they could see we were in trouble. But none of those people reached me the way another recovered compulsive overeater reached me. You know, the man who was making the approach, the person who was making the approach to me, came from a whole different place. You know, they came with a message of depth and weight because they had stood in that place where I was standing. They had been there. And they didn't come from this spiritual high top, and they didn't talk down to me, and they didn't act better than me. They came from a place of such humility. Because they knew what the solution was. The solution they had found was a higher power. You know, and they were willing to share that because, first of all, it kept them abstinent. It kept them sober. It kept them in recovery. And it was something they wanted to do because of what had been given to them. You know, that was the beautiful approach that they made to me, that they had stood in my shoes and now were recovered. And they cracked this big book open and made it come alive. Made it appeal to me in a way that said, this is what I found, and if you want what I have, here's how I found it. Because we are equipped with a very special experience, a very special background, a very special place that we've come from, because we've been there. And, you know, my problem had always been self-reliance. I'd been trying to find my way out by myself, and I couldn't. And then he ends it with such a beautiful, poetic vision. After such an approach, many take up their beds and walk again. You know, because I had been crippled by this illness, crippled by compulsive overeating. But when given the solution, and it was my choice, but when I was approached by someone in whom the problem had been solved, I could see something new and different, and I could hear the message of this book. And with that, I'll pass. Would anyone else like to comment on this paragraph?
Leah?
Rose?
Go ahead, Leah, and then Rose.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. My name is Leah. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. That the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty. Again, you know, we're speaking about people who are ex-problem drinkers. The problem has been solved. They are recovered. So, you know, they are coming from a certain experience that the man who is making the approach has had. He is recovered. The greater aspect of the disease, the obsession of the mind, has been expelled. It's driven out. This is not carrying the message of relapse. This is carrying the message that, you know what, if you woke up this morning feeling despair because of last night's binge, you never have to eat that way again. That there is a way out. There is a way to be stopped and stay stopped. That the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty. That's identification. That's where the identification process is so important For instance, you know, we look at the history that we just studied in Bill's story. Bill knew Ebby, and Bill knew how Ebby drank. And if, you know, and Bill knew that if Ebby was staying sober, some power greater than Ebby had to be working in Ebby's life. You know, he knew how Ebby drank. And that is the message of hope that people who are recovered offer the newcomer. You know, that I used to dig my fists into cellophane bags and bakery boxes also. I mean, for those of you that are new and don't understand the role of people who are recovered, let me make it clear, I don't have any credentials. I don't have any special understandings. I'm not appointed by anybody. I don't know about you, but I never wanted to be a compulsive overeater, and this may surprise you, but my life goal was not to be here today on the phone speaking to you. I certainly had other thoughts and dreams for myself. I'm just a compulsive overeater who is here trying to save her own life, and I've been doing that for quite some time. But when we say that he obviously knows what he's talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer, yes, I want to tell the newcomers that the chances of your recovery are 100%. 100%. Rarely is the experience of the people who follow the path laid out for people like me, rarely does that path fail if you follow the path. You know, that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions we have found most effective. After such an approach, many take up their beds and walk again. What does that mean? That means to be recovered. You know, I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been a compulsive overeater my whole life. I've had thousands and thousands and thousands of binges. I've eaten off the floor. I've eaten out of the garbage. I've eaten frozen food. I've eaten burnt food. I've stole food. I lied about food. I ate until I was stuffed. I ate until I was in physical pain. I ate until I was drugged to sleep. I know what it's like to sit in the dark in a parking lot and binge myself into oblivion. I've been there. I have been there. You know, I came from where I say I came from. I live the way I say I lived. I felt and acted the way I say I felt and acted in that disease. And I want to assure you that I have been transformed. And that's the message that we carry, that there is a way out. You know, you don't have to continue to live like this. This is much more than just the mere elimination of binge foods, although that's a very, very and most necessary beginning. This is about a restored life. This is about a reordered life. This is about being reborn, not in body, obviously, but in mind, in personality. You know, and is this possible for everyone on this line? Absolutely 100%. This is not a story about me. This is not a story of personal success or personal recognition. This is about what happens and what has happened through each person who is recovered through the cooperation with the grace of God and the transformation that's possible when we throw ourselves at that higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Go ahead, Rose.
Thank you, Janice. This is Rose, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. The whole paragraph, but mainly this first sentence is what is what strikes me. That the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he is talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, etc. Last May 1st, I called up a person who was a recovered compulsive overeater. And as I've said before, I spent almost 39 years around OA, unrecovered. I hadn't actually met a recovered person, truthfully, in my meetings. And when I called this person up and asked for help, and she said yes, and she laid out the simple kit of spiritual tools for me, whether I wanted to do that or not, it was my decision. But it was her recovery that spoke to me. It was her whole demeanor. It was her whole life. It was really everything about her that I knew that's what I wanted. And as hopeless as I was after all those years, a spark was lit, so tiny, but a spark was lit that maybe I could really learn how to get a recovery by these steps. And maybe I could really get honestly abstinent for the first time since I had ever come to OA. And thanks to God, that's what happened. And the one thing that I would just add is that I read pages 84 to 88 every day. And on page 84, this one short sentence for me is what all this is about, in that it says, love and tolerance of others is our code. Now, that was never my code prior to my recovery. And I can say, due to God's grace, this is what it's about. Love and tolerance for all has been given to me as a result of having worked the steps and continuing to work them daily. That this is what the gift is. And the only way that is kept each day is by giving it away, because the joy of working with another compulsive overeater is built in to having love and tolerance for all, because they are me, not very long ago. So with that, Janice, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose. Would anyone else like to comment on this paragraph before we move on?
Monica?
Go ahead, Monica.
Claire.
Good morning, Janice. Good morning, everyone. My name is Monica. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And that these are the conditions we have found most effective. So I'm looking at this paragraph, and I'm seeing here that I'm being given some information also as a sponsor, how to be a sponsor. And, you know, that I have no attitude of holier than thou. Nothing except to have a sincere desire to be helpful. No axes to grind, you know. Don't be giving any lectures. Not expecting any fees to be paid. That this has been found to be the most effective way to come across to another person, to a still suffering compulsive overeater, is you know, let them see what God has done for me. I know what attracted me was when I heard recovered people speaking, you know. I heard the joy in their voices. I saw the twinkle in their eye, the smiles. There was something different about them. There was something. They had a joy, a glow. There was something. And that's what attracted me, you know. And that's what we need to do is you know, show off, give off whatever vibes that are attractive to other people. Because I know I certainly didn't want to be talked down to, and I didn't want to be told what to do. You know, being a sponsor is not about controlling. It's about guiding another person through the process of the steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Monica. And Leia. Press star 1, Leah.
Do you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I was talking. This is Leah, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And I thank you very much for letting me share. I just want to share something so significant, so powerful, that it's like an aha moment. It's like it hit me. I'm going through a lot of emotional stress, and I'm doing my steps, and I'm working with the program and everything. And last night I was in an environment where it was very intensely emotional, and I cannot believe the way everything passed by. And everything passed by, not only with flying colors, but it was such calmness, with such serenity. There was no tenseness in me. There was nothing. I just dealt with everything the way it came through the grace of God. And for me, this is the, oh my God, this is the spirituality. Forget about the weight. Forget about the cosmetic thing. Forget about the powerlessness, giving it over. Forget about all those things. For this, I didn't bargain for this. For this to come into this situation that I was in last night and to come through not only without any emotion, but so happily, so much at peace. Everything is the way He divines it to be. And it was so powerful to me. I was thinking about it. I came home and I just wrote about it. And now I'm sharing it. It's like so magical. And one more thing I want to share is that every time I listen to this meeting, there's so much empathy. There's so many issues that I can really identify with. That it's like mind-boggling to me. and then I'm applying it to myself. I'm applying it to myself, nobody else. I'm here in this program for myself. I am not selfish, but I am definitely here for a purpose. I don't call this phone number because I want to listen to a social club. I call this phone number because I need strength for my day. And I want to thank you all very, very much. And with this, I'll pass.
Thank you, Leah. Well, let's move on to the next paragraph. And Katie, could you read that for us, please?
Good morning. This is Katie, a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. None of us makes a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. All of us spend much of our spare time in the sort of effort which we are going to describe. A few are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give nearly all their time to the work. Well, as I read this paragraph, I just think about, when you go to a psychiatrist and you tell them all your problems, they know what they're doing, and I'm not dismissing that work. But they don't identify with you in the same way that we do with our fellows. We have to go out and live this program. We don't just, become poster people for OA. And they were so smart in the writing of the tradition and in keeping it simple so that we don't become, we're not making ourselves publicly known by our success. As, people have shared, you have no idea what I look like. You have no idea how old I share things. I'm not tall. I'm 5'3". You can get that visual image. But I'm almost 53, You know, I walked in these rooms, I was 27 when I got abstinent. I walked in the rooms for the first time when I was 21, briefly when I was 14. I mean, you know, that's decades of difference in my life. But the fact is since I was 27 and now I'm 52, I have had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of experiences that I can share and say wholeheartedly, you can do it too. If I can do it, you can do it. And I would not have those experiences if I was working 100% just in sharing the 12-step program with people. I wouldn't have to, you know, work in the world, and I do. And I've gone through, you know, many phases of life that if I, you know, were a circuit speaker just going around the world, you know, proclaiming the great news of OA and getting paid for it, you know, I probably would have lost sight of the little people who need to hear what it's like. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that they, you know, God gave them the inspiration to set this program up the way it is. But I do spend much of my spare time on the phone working with other people and sharing my experience, strength, and hope, or sharing what's going on in my life so that I will not have to destroy the life I have. I still have problems. I still have difficult situations. I still have people that I have to interact with who don't do what I want when I want them to. And, you know, it says at the end here, few are fortunate enough to be situated that they can give nearly all their time. Well, you know, I am still younger than a lot of people that come into these rooms for the first time. It's so sad to me, you know, that they spent their whole life in the disease, and now they're going to spend the rest of their life in recovery. That's a beautiful thing, but, you know, I'm still not there yet. I'm not retired, and I don't have, you know, I can't take calls 24/7, but I'm just really grateful that we don't try to make this a vocation. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Katie. Would anyone like to comment on this paragraph?
This is Kim.
It's Monica.
Go ahead, Kim.
Good morning again, everyone. My name is Kim. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. If anyone is out there and they only hear one thing at this meeting, this is what I hope you hear. We feel that the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. But a beginning. You know, I spent many years in OA thinking the goal, thinking the aim was to get abstinent. If I work these steps hard enough, I will get abstinent. If I use the tools enough, I will get abstinent. If I go to enough meetings, I will get abstinent. And we are told in the doctor's opinion in multiple places, but two, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached. Of course. An alcoholic ought to be freed of his physical craving for liquor. That is so essential that we understand that we have to put the food down first. But that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning. That's what gives us the ability to work these principles. I used to think, and I used to live, getting myself busy enough to keep the beast away. And if I put my head on the pillow at night, and I was abstinent, it was a good day. I would go into meetings and say, abstinence is the most important thing in my life today without exception. But let me tell you, being abstinent only is difficult. It's painful to have to be abstinent in the morning and abstinent in the afternoon and abstinent at night. That's a long 24 hours. What the book, big book is telling us, and what has worked for me and for hundreds and thousands and millions of people is to put our substance down, to work these steps, have that spiritual awakening, and then the obsession is removed. I wake up every morning and I ask God, how can I be useful to you and my fellows?
I don't ask God to be abstinent, because if I work this program, meaning the steps, if I live in 10, 11, and 12 as a daily living practice, not as something I do when I'm just in pain, but a daily living practice, a natural byproduct is that I am abstinent. A natural byproduct is that obsession of the mind remains removed and that I won't go back to the food. I have talked in this line multiple times about the fact 3 years ago I broke my ankle. My foot was facing 150 degrees in the wrong direction. I snapped the bone in half and ripped every single muscle and tendon in my ankle. And it was necessary that I get that bone set first. I had to have 7 screws and a plate put in there. But that was just the beginning. The real struggle was, how do I repair those muscles and tendons? It took me a year to be able to walk without a limp again. And if I decided I don't want to get that bone set, I'm going to work on those muscles and those tendons first, that's crazy. That's crazy. I had to have that bone set first in order to work on the larger aspect of my injury. You have to put the food down first to attack the real nature of our disease. The real nature of our disease is the insanity and the mental twist. So if you hear one thing today, if you hear one thing in this meeting, I am going to shout with all my deportment that I can that we feel that the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. And with that, I pass.
Hi, this is
Thank
Julie.
You,
I would
Pam.
Like to share.
Who is that?
This is Julie. I would like to share.
Go ahead, Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie, a recovered compulsive overeater in California. And it's the same sentence Kim just talked about. We feel the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. You know, I've been in and out, mostly in OA since 81, and sure, I could lose 100 pounds, gain it, lose it, gain it. But when I was, quote unquote, in recovery, which I thought was recovery, which was thin, I didn't, you know, do a thorough nightly review. When it says here, it's a but a beginning, a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupation, and affairs. I was still egotistical, grandiose, angry, manipulative, sneaky, but I was thin. And I would sponsor people because I was thin. And I figured that was, you know, abstinence was the most important thing in my life. As long as I put my food in a cup, I had a good day. In, you know, the old days, it was services slimming. Nowhere in there did it talk about reviewing my day that I was taught. And it's no fault of people, because I just couldn't hear the message. There were people in the program that knew the big book, knew the problem, knew the solution, but I couldn't hear it. But I didn't look at my behavior. And now today, thank God, when I lay down at night and I look over my day and I see where I could have been more loving, I saw that I was grandiose in this situation. Do I need to make an amends? Yes, I need to go talk to my employee and tell him I was a little curt. But what am I going to do today to prevent that? It has nothing to do with food, because food is not an issue. The obsession has been lifted. I have to work on living. How to be a loving, caring, giving spouse, mother, employer, employee, sponsor, sponsee in all of my affairs, not just with food. It's a lot easier when you just focus on a food plan, but it's sure not very rewarding. I'm just very excited that I finally got it. You know, I finally understand, and I get to hear you guys, because a whole new world has opened up for me. So, yeah, you know, every night, I look at my behavior, and it's not always a 10, but tomorrow I do things to kind of make it better. So thank you so much for all being here.
Thank you, Julie. Would anyone else like to comment on this paragraph?
This is Leah.
This is Eileen. May I share?
I heard Leah and Monica. We'll take those two first, please.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. Obviously, I couldn't get anywhere if I hadn't separated from food. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. I mean, I hope it's obvious to you that when I came to this program, I had no tools for living, no roadmap. My primary relationship all those years had been with food. Leave it to the program of recovery to provide me with a roadmap for life, you know, the ability to implement these principles and these steps and thread them through the fabric of my life. I mean, that's the spiritual work of a recovered person, and that's the transformation that's possible. You know, here on my kitchen counter sits, you know, a Mother's Day card from my husband, for instance. I mean, you guys know my history. You've heard it enough on the line, but what about a statement such as, from my husband, "I continue to marvel at your endless ability to give love, spiritual nourishment, and guidance to each of our children." You know, that is a result of the program of recovery. That is a result of the program of recovery. You know, another statement, "Our children are successful because of this boundless love you have given over and instilled in them, a sense that they can always accomplish beyond what they thought possible. You are creating this dynasty. Thank you for allowing me to share in this monumental task of raising 12 remarkable children." I don't say those things because of personal recognition or personal success. Please believe me. I say those things because I want you to hear what is possible due to this program of recovery. You know, the program of recovery has enabled me to be that better wife, to be a mother when I did not necessarily have the role model of the mother in qualities that I exhibit today. That is a result of the program of recovery. You know, we all remember our abstinence date. My abstinence date happens to be January 19, 1987. What we don't remember is the day that the anger left, the day that the rage left, the day that the self-pity left, that, you know, the remorse left. Those things being removed enabled me to perhaps tap into some of the potential that God gave me and allows for each person to tap into. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. And Monica.
Thank you, Janice. What can I say after that? Ditto, ditto, ditto. We feel a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. So here we're being given more information on sponsoring, and they're saying, you know, none of us make this a sole vocation, and we don't think that that will increase effectiveness. But they're going on to say here, what's it like in your home? You know, can you respond to your family? Are you treating everyone with love and tolerance? Are you making amends when you need to? You know, we need to be doing this stuff at home. And then as our lives are, however it's available for us to sponsor, obviously, yes, we must sponsor other people. You know, and each one of us can do, you know, depending on our responsibilities, maybe you can sponsor one or two. And then, like I said, you know, some of us are able to spend more time with other ones. But, you know, before you're going out and giving it to others, how are you treating your people at home? Are you really recovered? Are you using love and tolerance at home before you're going out? And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica. Time for one more quick share, Eileen.
Hi. Hi, this is Andy. I'm a food addict.
I think Eileen was before you.
Oh,
am
sorry.
Am I right?
I didn't hear. I don't know.
Eileen, are you there? Then go ahead, Andy.
Great, thank you. Hi there. I just want to say that I've been so blessed
I'm still very new to A Vision for You, and I hop on in the morning, and I get what I need here. And I want to thank each and every one of you who shared this morning. There's such passion for the big book, such passion for the program, and I know why. I know why you have the passion, because you've had the pain. And I'm very familiar with the pain. I'm in program 12 years. 12 years I'm in program, and I've not gotten through the 12 steps. I've done this 1-2-3, 1-2-3 fall, 1-2-3 break my abstinence. Oh, so many times. I've had lots of little blips of abstinence, but I haven't been able to stay stopped. And what I've heard this morning, and each morning that I get on this line, is that I hear that my relationship with my higher power is the most important thing without exception. And what I had been hearing in the rooms is my abstinence is the most important thing today without exception. So that's my son in the background, sorry. 1 second, Wade! It's been a great adjustment. Like, I feel like I've been to a chiropractor and I got like that click, like, you know, okay, so if God is the most important thing in my life today, and the abstinence will come. I'm just super grateful for all of you again, and your passion, and your words, and for all the phone calls that I've gotten. Thank you so, so, so much for your support. I appreciate it. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Andy. Welcome in the lifeboat. Thank you to everyone who shared today. We will close now. I see we're after 7 o'clock. So sorry for those who might not have had time to share today. Please come back tomorrow. We will now close our meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Esther, could you read that for us?
Yes, good morning. My name is Esther, compulsive overeater in Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.